Call is now being recorded.
Thank you very much, Tim. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the big call on the 19th of February 2013. On the call today, we have Salma Hussein, Fahd Batanin, Daniel Kaltev, Chris Dillon, Edmund Chung, and Avi Doria. We have apologies from Miana Tazik, Minjung Park, Jonathan Shear, and Jane Zhang. From staff, we have Bart Bosunko and myself, Nasi Perazin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Edmund.
Thank you, Natalie. It's Edmund here. And thank you, everyone, for joining the call today. I apologize for such a late sending in documents so late. But in any case, I sent in an update on the draft final report on the universal acceptance of IDN-TLDs. And the plan is to sort of walk through that document for today, and then also further discussion through the month and to next meeting, and hopefully would be able to be in a position to put it out for public comments before the Beijing meeting. When I got on the call, I heard we were having a brief discussion on the arrangements for Beijing, so I guess perhaps we can start there first and come back to walk through the document and talk about the substance of the document. Does that work
yes.
for people?
Yeah. Hi, Edmund. Hi, all. I just told Danielle and say, while waiting for the others to join, is what we've done is we've arranged an extended meeting for Monday afternoon from 4 o'clock until quarter to 6. So that's in the afternoon. And say the first bit is that's the proposal that this will be the open session for, and that we announce it as such, and that the second part, say after a small break, that will be a working group meeting.
Okay. Based on what I understand from the other parts of the agenda, that interferes kind of with a couple of sessions at ALAC and AP Rallo, which is talking about IDN as well. So I was wondering if there is any flexibility or how we could coordinate this. I don't have the actual time in front of me, but there's a IDN TLD discussion planned for like during that time. I don't know whether anyone on this call recall what that time might be.
I can have a check. I can ask. I can, oh, hey, that's at large staff, but
let me see. I'm just trying to dig through. But in any case, I guess the point is if you could take a look, 5 to 7 is the suggested time on Monday for the AP Rallo session on IDN GTLDs.
That's the AP Rallo session. Or is it the at large? Or say, because I think if you would look through the agenda itself, you will see a lot of conflicting sessions. And we can change it round and say that AP Rilo will be invited for the second part of this session as the open session.
Okay. I guess we can try to work the two, but I just want to flag that there is potentially a conflict, and perhaps we want to take a look at it because there is going to be an overlap on the people, well, including myself, that needs to be there. So I guess we will probably have to take this offline.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess I'll
yeah, this say put it this way, this is probably we can change it, but going into the afternoon will be pretty difficult. Monday, say Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is probably at least Tuesday and Wednesday is out of the question, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, that leaves Thursday or Monday. Now, and then you have the morning, say that will overlap with the opening, etc.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, in any case, I guess we'll just have to figure out how some of us will be
split in two,
clone ourselves or split ourselves into two. So, but any case, we should probably take this offline and see how we could best.
Yeah, but at least
I understand the constraints of the timetable anyway.
Yeah, and the good thing is, so at least say as a principle, do you agree that we try to do it back to back? Say the open session as discussed in the previous call, and then say a working group session itself.
Yes, I think that is fine with me. In fact, generally, I don't mind the people sticking around for.
No, but but you invite them for the first session, and then if they want to stay, then they can stay. But that's going to be a working session, and the first one is going to be the reporting session.
Right.
Yeah. And this will give you ample of time. So that's the good thing about it.
Yeah, that works well for me.
Yeah, okay. So we keep that structure in mind, and then we see if we can optimize
it. I was just going to say whether anyone else has any thoughts on that. Hearing none, I guess that would be the approach. The exact times, we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll see if I can... is there a possibility of, you know, half an hour shifts here or there? Okay. So that's in terms of planning wise, I guess that's the idea. We would try to put a document out for public comments before Beijing, use that framework to invite people to come to an open public session during the Beijing meeting, and hopefully, given that it is in Beijing, we'll have more people interested in IDN to go through some of the recommendations and also the subject matter itself as well, which should be of interest there. For Beijing, and hopefully with that and the public comments, we'll be able to have good input to complete this work and produce the recommendations. So that's sort of plan, and I guess we can now move to the substance of the discussion, which is the walking through the final report itself. Before I walk through it, I guess I wonder if anyone has any particular burning question about it or about the discussion that's happened as an overall, what the report itself and also the stuff in the report. I note that I incorporated a bunch of thoughts that Chris helped. Thanks, Chris, for sending that to the list. We didn't spend much time discussing about it, but I did try to incorporate or at least encapsulate the essence of which. I guess a quick question on whether it is it reflects some of, you know, is consistent with what you have in mind, and then we'll go back there later as we walk through in more details. But I just want to get a sense whether it does generally encapsulate what you have in mind.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Edmund. It does indeed. The fact that it's actually under Section D rather than the originally suggested Section B, I think it makes very little difference. So that should be fine.
Okay. So anyone else have any particular overarching thoughts before I go into session by session? Okay, hearing none, I'll push forward. So in terms of organization, the first part is really just a recap of what's happening and links to the original, initial report, the public comments, and the report that Bart helped produce, a very brief description of the JIG. And then the first part of substance would be the summary of recommendations. I haven't edited much from the earlier version, which already took into account the comments that were made in Toronto. The only edit that I made was we talked briefly about we didn't want to particularly put a negative light on the staff work. That's not the case. So I took out the word passive. I guess the point is to be even more proactive and go beyond what is done, but not to say that say anything, not to imply anything negative on what has already been done. So,
Edmund, this is Bart.
That's really, yeah.
It's looking at the summary of recommendations and the introduction. I think what is it would be my suggestion that it's phrased that this is an advice or recommendation to both the CCNSO and GNSO Council. Say the JIG cannot make these recommendations directly. So,
good point. So I should have probably right before the 4 points, right under summary of recommendations, should have a paragraph or a sentence.
Explaining this is an advice or whatever you say, recommendations for the both. Explain the mechanism how this will work. That say my experience is people feel entrusted, and it clarifies the role of both councils for the external audience as well. You can even put it in the introduction.
That's probably a good idea. In fact, it's probably a better idea that to put probably a couple of sentences in the introduction. That makes more sense to me now. To put it in the
and then it's in fact say it's then the summary of recommendation can be as it is because they are adopted or not adopted by both councils.
Then they are the recommendations from the council as well. I mean,
And then they go from the council. Then they are CCNSO and GNSO council. Because the JIG advises both councils. So if they adopt it, they are considered GNSO and CCNSO council recommendations.
Right. Good point. So we'll add that description in the introduction.
Yeah.
So in terms of summary recommendations, we've been through this four items for quite some time now. Fairly straightforward. To have registries and registrars support universal acceptance of IDN TLDs in their own systems. B, to allocate specific budget. C, to develop checklists and guidelines for registries and registrars. And D, some more specific prioritization and substantive work based on allocated budget for this. So this is those are the four items. Any thoughts, suggestions? Objections? Okay, hearing none, I'll keep going forward. And also, as usual, I guess I'll, for whatever we talk about today, we'll probably try to summarize any aspect of substance and either edit the document or send to the mailing list and have confirmation from the list before we publish anything else. So this is so there's still opportunity to raise issues. I do understand that this document was just sent about 10 hours ago. So okay, so the second section is the background and related works. It's pretty much wholesale copy and pasted from the initial report. So it's the same, exactly the same wording, except I added a paragraph at the end to include a reference to the user experience report from the VIP, the variant issues team, because we refer to that later on in the recommendations as well, and I think there is quite a bit that's relevant to what we talk about as well. And in our public comments we received, there has been I believe there was one or two that did talk about that variance. It was also a acceptance issue, so I thought it would be relevant. So besides the last paragraph, everything was copy and pasted from the previous document, the initial report.
What section are we in now, please?
Yep.
I'm just reading this thing for the first time this morning, so I really have no idea where we're at or what's going on, but thank you. That was awesome.
No worries. Sorry, I didn't quite... Abby, were you asking a question? You said you only received it this morning, and yes, I only sent it.
Yeah, I'm asking where you we're at. I'm in the process of just trying to read this thing while we're approving it. So please, I just lost track of where you are.
Ah, okay, no problem. We're not. First of all, we're not looking at fully approving it in this meeting. And in terms of where we're at, we're in section two, which is the background. And I was just explaining that that is. The bulk of that was copy and pasted from the initial report. It shows as a red line for this report because the early version I only had a placeholder saying that I would cut and paste this portion from the initial report. So it's showing as a red line, but 95% of it is copied from the initial report. And then I added one paragraph at the end of this section to give reference to the user experience report from the VIP team that just came out about a month ago.
Oh,
does that answer your question?
So you're just saying we have to acknowledge that report, not that we're in any way committing to.
No, I didn't. Yeah, as you look at that particular paragraph, I just said, it identified certain issues. I specifically stayed away from endorsing or not endorsing that particular report. So, any questions on Section 2 in terms of background and the way it works? It pretty much gives a very quick overview and a number of links back to older documents on this subject. I hope it's a good read for anyone who wants to dig up some history on this topic. Okay. Hearing no further comments or thoughts, I'll keep moving on again. This is still up for discussion within this group for the next month or so. I don't expect to put this out until after our next meeting in March, and probably about sometime before Beijing, it will be posted out, and we would have the public comments that go beyond Beijing. Okay, so the third section is it goes a little bit more into the recommendations in terms of what action we suggest to be taken. In the previous document that we produced, which is for single character ID and TLDs, this section was split between the CCNSO and GNSO. The nature of this particular subject, I thought it would be fine just to have one section, because it's something that's more general, and recommendations are more general as well. It's intended to be the specific action to be taken. We're not trying to specify what ICANN and the ICANN staff team should do. We outline some further particulars for the recommendation. That's pretty much it. So it's split into recommendation A, which we're suggesting that the IDN guidelines be updated to reflect this idea. This is based on the discussion we had in Toronto, and that's probably the place where it best fits. In terms of recommendation B, consider this whole report should go into as sort of input for the next round of budget and strategic plan discussion consideration from ICANN. And then for recommendation C and D, there are certain the recommendations to be taken into input for the universal acceptance program, which ICANN is already it essentially has revived since the new GTLD program. So section 3 basically just talks about these three aspects: recommendation A, to put it into IDN guidelines; recommendation B, as input into the budget process; recommendation C and D, as input into the ICANN staff universal acceptance team.
Edmund, this is Bart.
Yep.
Say, from a structural point of view, I find it a bit awkward to read it this way, because the way I read it right now is as if these are the recommendations again, but say either it's you link it with the section one as say suggested paths of implementation, etc., per recommendation, or in a discussion of the proposed recommendations, because this is where the full recommendations sit, and then you link it there as a kind of implementation suggestion or whatsoever.
Okay.
Maybe it's just
fact,
me. I don't
took
know,
the structure
but
from the earlier report, which worked better this way. But yes, you're right. I think it's somehow, because of the background, it suddenly seems out of context
here.
So I guess what we can do is to combine 3 and 4 and just place these paragraphs into insert it right after the discussion in section 4. To the relevant portions.
Yeah, and maybe, as say, somebody recommended, it depends a bit. Oh, so you got the introduction, then you got the summary recommendations, then you got a, say, discussion of proposed recommendations, say the summary is a summary, and then combine that with the implementation, and then as the final paragraph, put something in like background and, how is it called, and related work. Because I think if you look from a structural point of view in reading it, so in a way, parts of the background and related view, related works is very nice as an introduction into the topic itself. So that could go into the introduction. So it's not your procedural introduction, but it's also a substantive introduction. And then background and related work, It's very good to understand the context and what is happening in say in the context areas, but say focusing from introduction and process into the proper recommendations and their implementations, I think the second paragraph distracts from reading it.
You mean section 2 or?
Yeah, it should be included. Don't misunderstand me. It should be included, but maybe put it as the final paragraph.
Okay, so section 3 and section 4 would
become section 2.
Inverted.
Yeah, and background and related works is the new section 3. Because then it's almost like the summary of recommendations. It's almost like an executive summary.
Okay, so you mean for the current section 3 to become section 2?
Yeah.
And then the current section 2 to become section 3?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Unless it's just me, but I find that, say, it distracts from the flow of the document, section 2. And the reason is you got, say, now this section 3, ICANN policy coordination considerations, it's linked with the recommendations itself, so it's more in the discussion area, say, as suggestions for implementation. And then if you and the because it's such a long piece, the background and related work, and it is important to understand the context of universal acceptance, but it people are say the people like on the councils probably will be distracted from what's going on for what they expect
right.
it to do.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why there's a summary of recommendations. And I think as you mentioned, probably makes sense to put the sort of the actions that we are seeking higher up as well, because that is certainly the case that most people would read the first page or a bit, and then jump to the end, kind of thing. So I think that makes sense. I wonder if anyone else has any thoughts or comments on that. Besides the flow, which is to move this section up to 2, any thoughts or comments on the substance of which of the three actions to be taken? Okay. Hearing none, I'll take it as though so far it makes sense. Okay, moving on to section four then. Again, I just want to note that we're not approving the document immediately right now. We're walking through, and once you have have the chance to read through it more thoroughly, please feel free to bring issues to the mailing list. And we also have planned for one more meeting next month to go through this before we finalize it for public comments. Okay, so section four is our four subsections to discuss a little bit more about what we mean and about the recommendations and why we've made those recommendations. So the first one is the first recommendation. The recommendation A is for IDM TLD operators, including registries and registrars, to support universal acceptance of IDM TLDs in their own systems. The key point here is that there are registries and registrars that themselves don't support IDM TLDs in their systems. They do support the IDM TLD that they are running for some of the CCTLDs, but
अपने कॉलर्स को टूंटू की जगह अपनी मनपसंद मूवी ट्यून सुनाएं। मूवी ट्यून हासिल करने के लिए अभी 2-3 सिफर मिलाएं, ₹15.99 पर।
Sorry, I think that was unintended. Unless somebody caught what was being said.
Hi, Edmund, this is Natalie. The operator is looking into it.
Okay. So I guess nobody caught what was said, that is relevant to the context of what we were talking about. Anyway, as I was saying, so recommendation A, the point is that some of the registries and registrars don't support IDM TLDs, especially other IDM TLDs, in their own systems. And registrars, even though, for example, they accept certain IDM registrations, they don't accept them in main server records, child hosts, or contact information. I think that the main point is that we should have a way to recommend TLD operators to at least do that, because it's sort of like us eating our own medicine as we go out to outreach and ask others to do so. So that's the discussion on A. Any thoughts or comments, suggestions? Okay. Hearing none, I'll keep going forward. So B is the allocation of budget for this particular subject, because so far we've seen from the ICANN staff team some informational materials and toolkits, but I guess the recommendation is to put a little bit more focus and have a line item in a sort of focus in the strategic plan and budget. The suggestion, based on our discussion, I guess, from Toronto and subsequent discussions, to focus on the subject of consumer trust, especially under the current competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice sort of banner. There are different items under that. And to add a point of universal acceptance under that and provide it with a little bit more focus on the effort. And there is a suggestion that we focus on universal acceptance of IDN TLDs rather than just TLDs, because that more clearly aligns our interests between the IDN CCTLD and GTLD. But that is not necessarily so, but because ASCII CCTLDs are being created as well, although there's less acceptance issues. But I guess the point is that because the IDN adoption is also one of the aspects that I can, you know, it's part of the what I can is looking to do. So I guess the suggestion, at least from this group, is to focus on IDN TLDs, but we leave the door open for it to be more generic.
Edmund, this is Bart.
Yep. And I meant generic, not as generic TLDs, but general evidence.
Yeah. I don't know whether you are aware, but say the strategic planning process will change as of this year. And I wouldn't be surprised that they say consumer trust as one of the four pillars will not return, because that was very much, say, a part of the strategic planning process that ICANN used to have. And if you look at it, say, if you look at the announcement, there is also a change in scope and methodology of the future strategic planning. Future strategic plan itself. So maybe not so much as identifying it, but say the advocacy and say so that relates to the first sentence of section B.
Okay, I am aware, but I haven't actually read much of it.
No,
There
isn't much into it. Say what will change is it will be a 5 years strategic plan. It will go into the mission, vision, etc. And it will not revisit the four different pillars, because that was very much a thing of the previous CEO.
That's useful to know. And in that case, I wonder if, Bart, you could help make...
I'll help you revising this section a bit, because it's also a matter of adjusting the language a bit, that you say you link, you make it a universal acceptance, a strategic objective of our priority, and then that means it will trickle down into the budget one way or the other.
That's the idea of the discussion.
Yeah.
Right. And I was utilizing what was there before for the last few years.
But that will change, and that's very clear to the announcement itself. The second thing is, but this is, again, say, from experience, past experience, I think with regard to whether to focus on IDN CCTL or IDN TLDs or IDN or TLDs in general, my advice would be to focus on IDN TLDs and include a note that you are aware that it's a broader issue, not just GTLDs or new GTLDs, but also for some CCTLDs, but that's outside of scope of the working group. It protects you from outsiders who want to use it to question the mandate of the working group.
Right. That's a good point. So we should probably
That's changing the argument around a little that you just used. Is say you are aware and put this in a note, but we're focusing on IDN TLDs because that's the scope of the working group.
Right. That's good. So I wonder if I could perhaps have your help to
Oh, yes, there's some standard there's standard phraseology for it by now.
Sounds good.
That was my comments, sorry.
Okay. So, for the discussion for B, any further
this
thoughts?
Is Aubrey. Can I ask something?
Please, go ahead.
On this, I guess ICANN can go back and forth about what's its strategic goal and what's its not. I'm assuming, though, that consumer trust would still be identified as an important goal at ICANN, even if we demote it. I'm not sure quite how.
I would say my advice would be that say, the JIG and with it the councils is name it as a strategic objective. Whether it's included in the strategic plan as such doesn't matter. But that the council should make should ensure that it remains something of an strategic objective, however you want to call it. So not refer back to the strategic plan.
Okay. Yeah.
But make it as a statement.
Yeah, I don't even know we have to use the word strategic because that might end up problematic to people.
But make it very clear. Say this is important. And say my comment was try to avoid any confusion about this because this is a changing. The strategic planning process itself will change, and probably the substance of it as well.
ICANN strategy is kind of like sands in an hourglass.
Yeah.
So it gathers monthly, or it just shifts? Depends on how you see it. Right? So I understood Bart's point and Avery, it's a good point you mentioned, and it's good to clarify that's the case. We're not, at least in our discussion, I mean that remains an important thing, but we just don't want to tie ourselves to a history that might be not that the history would be revised. It's just that we don't want to tie to something of the past. So that it continues to be relevant even with new descriptions or whatever that comes ahead of us. That's the idea, right, Bart?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So, anything else on B? Not moving on to C. That's the recommendation, a more specific recommendation for a set of checklists and guidelines to be produced. The idea is fairly simple, but it probably will require some work from the staff team to collect and consolidate the experience from earlier launches of GTLDs and IDNC CTLDs, and to consolidate it into checklists for registries and perhaps registrars. These are the things that you need to be aware of. Some of the places, these are some of the major obstacles you might see. These are some of the lists you might want to get yourself to be on. These are perhaps some of best practices, as in, some registrant comes and questions why your TLD is not working, how best to respond, those kind of things. So that's a specific sort of recommendation for a piece of work to be produced. Because right now, what has been produced are materials for a more general audience that there are certain issues, but nothing has been produced specifically for registries and registrars are getting themselves into this So that's C. I wonder if anyone has any thoughts, comments, suggestions? Is what is written enough, or should we provide even more? I was going to give a reference. I forgot to do that. I apologize. I am supposed to include the names. I think she provided some examples of things like that, and I'll reference back to that. Thank you her for providing some pointers. So I could include that as a pointer. I did see. I believe Korea also has produced something, although they're in Korean. So I don't know how useful that might be, but at least we can also incorporate that as a link. And you know, these are some of the things that registries have produced in the past, and you know, might be a starting point for a staff team to take a look as they go into that process. Okay. So, hearing no further questions, comments.
Oh, Edmund, it's Chris Dillon here. Yes. Can I just? I mean, I think this is. I think this is actually such an important part of this because, you know, you're stressing drawing on and consolidating experience, and you know, different organisations scattered around you know, have probably produced stuff that is really useful. And I almost wonder whether that there may be a case for having a corner perhaps in one of the ICANN wikis where we can just make lists of useful things, of things that have been done all over the place, and maybe they are in Korean or you know, some other language, but you know, just we need somewhere a list of useful things that could be recycled.
Thanks, Chris. That's that is certainly the part of the suggestion, and I guess if I got your comment accurately, you're suggesting not only for ICANN to consolidate a sort of a guideline based on the consolidated experience, but also a sort of a repository kind of list for everything else that people have done.
Yes, so there are two reasons for doing it. One is that it would help if ICANN is writing things, and then ICANN knows we'll need to know what's already been done, because knowing that stuff will really make things much quicker. But it's one of those lists that you might as well make it public, because you know, it will also help anybody else who's interested in this stuff. So by creating a list of what has been done, you're helping both ICANN and any other organization that wants to write stuff. So it's just creating this central pool of resources. That's really the idea.
I think that's a good idea, and as you mentioned, it's part of what we're asking ICANN to do is to collect that list, and then they could consolidate and sort of integrate into a useful guideline. But that particular list would be the raw materials for eventually what needs to be produced, and that list itself would be a valuable list to have.
Yeah. Yes.
somewhere.
Yeah, and it would also be a list that you would want to continue to work on over a long period of time. So, you know, ideally people will get into that, but, oh, well, I won't just write something. I'll have a look what's been done, and then I'll write something. And so, you know, the idea of that there just being somewhere where people could look and, you know, perhaps not even take all of the detail, but just, oh, this particular document covered these particular areas, although we are going to do it slightly differently. It's just that sort of approach.
Good idea. I wonder if I could get you to volunteer to help edit that in.
I enjoy squirreling things like that away. I would certainly be happy to act as a coordinator of such a list, and you know, also to do my best to publicize it.
I didn't mean that to start creating the list. I mean to incorporate your idea into what has been written under. In this document.
Both things are quite fine. I mean, I'm happy to explain that idea more clearly.
And we could give a few examples of that as you look around. You know, the one from Miranda is a good starting point. That's one of them. I can find you the one from Korea. And we can put that as examples into screen, and if you could help suggest the edits to
yeah, keep... I'm happy to be involved in things like that, both in the short and the longer term.
This is Aubrey. If I can make a comment on this.
Please go ahead.
I think the idea of having something set up with examples is really good, and in fact, if you're doing it for various scripts, you may even want to develop a way of doing it in multiple scripts and languages. I think we have to be really careful, though, to make sure that it is billed as just a set of examples of what others have done and not try to call it guidelines or even the best cases such, because if we do that, then all of a sudden we're saying that it needs to somehow be blessed by someone as indeed a best case or what have you. So I think the idea of a place for examples and you know, experiential anecdotes and indications is great, but we have to make sure that it remains that and doesn't get any liabilities, as it were, for having suggested things that may not be understood well enough or may not work well enough in other situations. Thanks.
Yes, there needs to be some.
Thank you, Abby. I want to make sure that's well taken, but I want to make sure you're not, because the suggestion is also for ICANN to actually do produce a checklist for new IDN TLD operators. We probably could stay away from the word best practice and not say it's best or whatever, but I think what would be of value is to actually produce something that is consolidate a checklist for new GTLDs that comes from ICANN staff. Based on the consolidated stuff, I'm not sure whether you're disputing that recommendation as well, or are you just saying that this particular list we just need some disclaimer to make sure.
When we get into things that are checklists that look like ICANN implementation requirements, then we also have to make sure that we've taken care of the policy analytical part of each and every one of those, make sure they're scrubbed of anything that would have either a policy implication for people's operations or a policy presumption that either the CCNSO or the GNSO has made a policy recommendation that brings out this particular implementation issue. So I think if we're asking staff to do a checklist, that comes out as an implementation requirement type of thing, we're going into worrisome territory. Thanks.
Okay, before you take that further, that's not the case. We're not saying this is a checklist that staff uses to evaluate the registry. We're saying that to produce a set of checklists for registries use to do their stuff, like when let's say dot Catholic in Chinese is delegated, they would get a, you know, then we can send them this list and say, hey, now you've got this new IDN TLD. These are some of the things that you should know. They might not work here, they might not work here, and you might want to talk to these guys because they maintain a suffix list. It's not used for ICANN to evaluate the registry, but it's used by the registry to do their...
Then it becomes something even more problematic, because then it's ICANN, unless it's stated, hey, here, go look there at some useful stuff, unless it's stated as that, then you're actually giving staff a sort of implementation requirements on the internals of how someone's going to do their registry, which is even more problematic, I would think. So... I think the idea of having all kinds of information available, I think staff giving any new registry a pointer to, here's a place where we keep all kinds of interesting problems and solutions that others have found useful to them. Your mileage may vary. Feel free to peruse it, look to it, talk to people. I think that's great. As soon as there's any impression of staff saying you ought to do this in your registry, or even the appearance of you ought to do this in your registry, then it has even more policy implications and problems, because then it becomes an internal sort of subsidiarity issue and thus is even more policy laden. So, as I say, yeah, it's good to give history, references, recommendations of things to read, recommendations of people to talk to, but certainly not anything that even comes close to a checklist with any sort of normative character. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for that input. I get the point about it being normative. I guess what we need to qualify this, what I was calling checklists. I guess the point is to highlight a few items that registries should take note of. It's not intended to be instructional, but I think, you know, there are many registries that, you know, at least the newcomers that are getting into this that I've talked to in the past 6 months to a year, they have no idea that this thing might not work so many places. And I think that's the important part. That's what is important is that we could have some resource that helps summarize that. Perhaps a better way to describe it is to, if we have a repository of everything that has been done before, but also a little bit of a summary of what the broad strokes are. And that's what I'm referring to. Does that ease your worry? Because in my mind, it should have nothing to do with or reflect on how good or bad a registry is doing, or they ought to do this or that or not, but more so as a sort of, you know, summarized material, or summarized stuff that says, hey, you're running this new GTLD, and these are some of the things you might need to know on this particular subject.
As long as it's purely reference and capacity building and has absolutely no normative character to it, I don't see a problem. I'm just advising a caution, because it's so easy when you start saying checklist. For example, a checklist has a normative assumption to it. You got to check off everything, or you got to check off a number, or you got to do this. And so a checklist, and that was actually the word that sort of raised my normative flag. And so, yeah. Sure, I think capacity building, education, boy, have you bought yourself a load of trouble. Here's the kinds of things you can do, you know, please consider, or what have you. Let us educate you. Let us, you know, what have you. Wonderful. But as soon as it has anything that smacks of normative, then we have to get into a policy to decide what can be normative.
Good point. And I guess in that case, we should really get away from using the word checklists or guides and probably just use words like summary or and have a note specifically to say that it's, you know, we're not suggesting anything normative.
Okay, thanks.
And I think that should address your issue. But the substance of which and having some place with some summarized information on this subject for new GTLDs, IDN TLDs, I think is very useful, and I hope it remains in the recommendation. Is really what I'm saying. Okay, so we're just over the top of the hour. We'll run out of time for this week. We'll reconvene in about a month's time when hopefully people have a little bit more time to read through it, and we'll go back. We'll restart on D, I guess, or come back to C a little bit as well, and some of the other ones if we have other comments. But before I close, I just want to make sure, Chris, you have volunteered for something that's bigger than probably what you originally thought about, because of all the changes that Avery just mentioned. I just want to make sure you got the what Avery raised and sort of what we suggested.
Yeah, that wasn't that. I mean, I was viewing anything policy related as being something that would be done elsewhere. I mean, what I was really thinking about was some kind of resource library, but exactly what the scope of that is, I think we'll need to discuss on the list. But I'll email the list with a few suggestions. Now I'm just wondering when that's going to be. It may be early next week, in fact.
Okay, sounds good. In that case, anyone else have any burning issues before we close? Hearing none, thank you everyone for your time. I think it was a very constructive meeting. The exact date, do we have an exact date of the next?
We should, but we'll send it through the list.
Okay, that would be good. Probably around the same time of the month.
Yeah.
And then hopefully right after we'll be able to put out the document for public comments in time for Beijing. Thank you, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you, Tim. You announced